Hey, this is Doug Jones, and you're listening to Mad Scientist Party Hour.
Oh, hello there, friends! And welcome back to another episode of Mad Scientist Party Hour. My name is Kevin Kraft, joined once again by a man who seems to have misplaced his pants and underwear, but has definitely placed his boner into his thrusting hand. That's Jeff Clark.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for having me.
And transmitting to us from Caesar's Palace, the man who floats like a butterfly, but it stings when he pees, Shuddy Boy.
Yo, rap, rap. I appreciate that one.
Did you throw up in your mouth a little bit there?
Me?
Yeah, I thought I heard a gross.
No. Nope.
My bad.
You had a burp shart. Shuddy has been texting the group text, the MSPH poo chat, with videos of him boxing. And I don't know what reaction you're fishing for on those, Shuddy.
I was mostly just the first one was a goof that I had no intention of it really going any further than that first one and only time in the ring. But I have been going to the boxing gym to work out.
And this is all new since the last MSPH, correct?
This is all new.
This is Shuddy Boy's newest obsession?
So maybe.
Because you always seem to have one in the chamber.
It wasn't supposed to be. So a situation arose through Big Acai where I visited the boxing gym, and we can go into that more behind the paywall if we would like.
Okay.
So I went to the gym to meet a boxer and his manager on Wednesday. And then they said, if you want to come back tomorrow and go through a workout, go for it. So I did that Thursday. And then they're like, everybody's been so chill there, so nice. Like, it's weird. I was terrified that time I went to the boxing gym with you before you bludgeoned the hell out of Shit Toboggan.
Yeah.
But they like welcomed me in with open arms. So I went and did a 3.5 hour workout on Friday.
Jesus, 3.5 hours. Shuddy,
three and a half hours.
You're a 42-year-old man.
I got home at like 12:30 on Friday until yesterday morning. I could barely walk around the house, and bending over was a problem.
Well, yeah, there goes your weekend.
Because they did not take it easy on me, and I didn't quit, so.
You're not going to make me bend over.
There's only 3 minutes in a round, so you win.
That's my boxer name, Ben Dover.
Well, no, so I did 20 minutes of jump rope. I ran a mile and a half. I pushed the 150-pound sled up and down the gym.
A sled? Now, is that a name for a piece of equipment, or are you pushing a literal, like, Santa's sled?
No, it is.
I guess that's a sled with weights on.
Yeah. Okay. Hold on. I'll show you.
I mean, I'm a moron when it comes to a lot of things, but exercise is one of my glaring moronic areas.
What?
Yeah. I know a few things. I've tried, you know, I tried kettlebell workouts before, and I know you're supposed to swing them. But I don't know how you're supposed to swing kettlebells without whacking yourself in the nuts with your forearm every time. So I stopped doing it.
So, it's something like this where you put the plates from like a bench press set, you know,
Ah, okay.
on there, and then you push it. But
That's
the
cool.
sled weighs 50 pounds, and then they put 90 pounds of weight on it and had me running up and down the gym with it.
Was it fun? It sounds kind
No.
of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun in the sense of it was a much better way to work out and easier to stay motivated than doing the kettlebells at home like I've been doing. But it was fucking hard. I was huffing for air almost the entire time,
Yeah, because you still
just
smoke ciggies.
completely drenched in sweat for approximately 24 more hours.
Oh, look at this big swinging dick motherfucker. Are you quitting?
I am.
Do you think it'll stick?
Well, I hope so. Sharon's quitting and she went the Chantix route. And I've gone the weaning myself off route.
Is
And so
Chantix
tomorrow
the
we're.
patch?
No, that's the medicine, the
Oh,
pill.
okay. Yeah,
Yeah, I
man.
heard that works.
When I quit
It
smoking
does. And that's
cigarettes.
why she did it. But I don't. I'm down to. I mean, today I've had three, but yesterday all day I had. Two cigarettes yesterday and two the day before. So
You're almost ready?
I'm practically there. I have five cigarettes left, and that's
Oh man, that
when.
means, Jeff, we're about to get bitchy shuddy boy. So, to everybody in the Puminati, it's like California waiting for the big one. We're long overdue. Shuddy boy, when he quits smoking cigarettes, he's probably gonna quit the show like four times.
Well, listen, I've got a better outlet now that I'm doing physical activity. So maybe it won't be that bad. It has been a minute since I've quit though. So
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Dude, snowboarding and boxing. You're a two sport athlete.
yeah, you're
Do
no
both sides.
longer Shuddy Spice, you're Sporty Spice.
Jump rope is supposed to be like one of the harder workouts you can do.
So on the first day, on Thursday when I was there, that was the thing that I was most self-conscious about doing in a gym full of boxers, jumping rope with ease, was I was never good at jumping rope. And so I'm like there starting to jump rope and I'm like doing my arms are like, and they're like, no, just the wrist. I've got it, the hang of it, but it's killer on your calves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was never good at jump roping, even when I was a little kid. I couldn't
You
do
didn't
any of
just
it.
jump in air and like do the movements at first?
No.
Oh, you went straight to the rope, huh?
Went straight to the rope.
Okay, all right.
Straight to the rope.
So you went in, the first video is you went to meet with this boxer, and then they were like, "Hey, since you're here, why don't you throw on some gloves and just start taking shots at the actual boxer, right? The guy who's training
Yeah,
for a
yeah.
fight."
Yep, correct. Yeah.
So you start throwing shots at him.
He's train he's gonna have his first pro fight in June. So he is way too advanced to be sparring with me. So it was just a for funsies thing where he was just defending and
So
kind of
after that happens,
showboating.
they were like, "Hey, why don't you come back and do some real training?"
Yeah, why don't you come work out? I was like, sure, fuck yeah.
Now, was that like a one-time invitation, or are they like, "Hey, how about you just keep coming here all the time?"
No, it's going to be ongoing.
You getting any sort of kickbacks? Any hookup, or are you paying full price for a boxing gym? Or are you pleading the fifth?
I'm pleading the fifth.
Okay. So, how many days a week are you going to start doing this?
I'm going to go 1 or 2 days a week. It's really, I'm not trying to actually box. Like at this moment, it is just for the workout.
Because I feel like at this, with
You
this
are
audience, the Puminati is going to be like, "Hey, Shorty, I'll challenge you to fight. Why don't you fight me?" People are definitely going to want to spar with you, I think.
So I'm not looking to, but they keep saying we'll have you sparring in 3 months. And I'm like, let's pump the brakes a little bit.
Stop. I'm just trying to learn offense, not defense.
So that video I sent you earlier, or not earlier, on Friday, that was another kid that is an actual fighter. Like he, so they got me in there just to goof for him to goof around with. And they said to him, don't hit him hard, but pop him in the face a few times so he gets used to it. So they're really under the impression that they're going to make a fighter out of me.
I mean,
you're going.
Yeah.
I got up and jump roped this morning. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's hard.
I'm just picturing you doing double Dutch with
neighbor kids.
Yeah. Lollipop, lollipop. 1, 2, 3. Well, I'm glad you found another new hobby, Shuddy. It seems like you've got a full plate, so something must have gotten bumped off the docket. Like, is He-Man shit off the table now?
Snowboarding got bumped off the docket.
Yeah, it's behind itself.
Yeah, I guess nature just took care of that one for you, so now you're just subbing in some boxing shit.
And that's honestly, I went in when thinking that I'd have no problem with leg exercises because of snowboarding. I literally it hurt to sit down, it hurt to stand up, it hurt to walk.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean you are hitting different muscles.
Yeah, it was I had a very simplistic view of what boxing is.
Yeah.
I think the best condition fight or best condition athletes in the world are boxers.
I mean,
MMA too, but same difference. Combat fighters.
Yeah.
Not that I diminished it, but I always thought it was just a case of who could hit harder and who could get hit harder. And it is way more involved than that.
Oh, yeah. It's like a chess match.
So they call it the sweet science.
Shuddy, do you get stoned before you go to the gym?
I'll take a couple. I took a couple puffs in the morning, but then no ciggies, no more than that. Just a quick little just, and lots of caffeine pre-workout.
All right. I mean, when I was boxing and stuff, it is like, I remember when I had to fight fucking Will Pendarvis, and that was, you know, a battle for my soul to not have to eat onion rings off of a man's boner, you know? I had to last a first round, which somehow magically went from a 2-minute round to a 5-minute round. And by the end of it, I was fucking thrashed. Like, I couldn't breathe for the rest of the night. Like, every breath hurt and was wheezing. Like, I had to pass off on getting some nookie because I was all fucked up from it. Pendarvis had to like get on oxygen right in the ring.
I remember I was your cornerman for that fight.
I did punch a booger out of his head, which was cool. It like bounced out of his nostril and landed on his cheek. And I was like, you know, because I had my mouth guard in, but I was like, ooh. And then he got me right in the ribs. But it's, yeah, it just absolutely exhausts the living shit out of you. So, I know what that next day thrashing feels like. It is not pleasant.
Yeah, it was rough. It was really rough on Saturday.
Well, I've been doing what I can to get on the exercise bike more and do, you know, like a few hundred push-ups a day. Cause, I did lock in a theater for a, quote unquote premiere for The Second Coming of John Cooper. And I know I'm going to have to take a lot of pictures and stuff, and it'll be a very important day, a day that I remember. And I would like to be as less jowly as I possibly can, because I notice a lot, like when I have lost a little bit of weight, but I do have some supple breasts, and my muffin top, My muffin top is still there. So, like, you know, sometimes I think I look good, and then I see myself in a picture, and I'm smiling, and I got these big fucking chipmunk cheek, and my, you know, that sack that frogs have underneath. I get, like, a frog neck thing going. It's like, ah, god damn it. So it's April 1st. I've got, like, 5 weeks to shed a little bit of this flubber. And God knows I don't have the fucking self-control to eat better. God damn it. I try, but then it's just like, I mean, I see how people get addicted to heroin. I can't stop eating ice cream. And ice cream is not heroin.
One of the things they said to me was that I need to stop eating carbs. And every time they said that to me, I looked at them like they were fucking crazy.
Yeah, you guys don't mean that, right?
You're just kidding.
I guess this is your way of telling me I don't belong.
But yeah, I got a theater book for the premiere, even though there's about a week and a half still left in post-production. So fingers crossed everything stays on schedule. But very pumped about that. Now comes the nightmare of getting the guest list put together and sending out RSVPs to the cast and crew and then seeing how many people respond and then how many open spots I have to, you know, get in friends and family and all that. But it's also like a little nerve-wracking, you know? I do in a way feel like a dog chasing a car who actually caught one. It's like, oh shit, now what? Like, I made this thing. Now a theater full of people are going to watch it. And then it's just like, oh shit, what if people don't laugh?
Is that what your biggest concern is? Is that now that this is the realization that people other than you and editors are going to see it start to finish?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little nerve-wracking. I mean, it's more exciting, but there's definitely that thin layer of underlining wrecked nerves. Because it is a big, I mean, it's a big swing. If you miss, that's a big meatball hanging out there.
I am confident that it is going to be fantastic, but on the, I would say, 0.00000001% chance it's less than that. I'm going to leave Jeff to make all the comments.
Oh, it's Jeff to make fun of me for having a shitty movie?
I'm just going to remain silent and be supportive to you. Jeff can handle all the hard talking.
I will say this.
The leveling with you.
You know, we shot a 100-page movie in 13 days. With a teeny, 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 tiny budget. And for what we pulled off, I think the jokes are definitely there. You won't run the risk of watching a comedy and not laughing, which I'm sure everybody's familiar with. Everybody's put on a comedy movie and not a single joke has landed with you and you're just like, ugh, I essentially just watched a boring drama. A comedy with no jokes. You know, what's that? But there are definitely moments where even if you're not feeling the movie, I guarantee you'll laugh a handful of times. So I know it's got that going for it. Another big pinch me moment happened when the Letterboxd page for The Second Coming of John Cooper went up. Which I know it's like a very nerdy thing. And even to this day, when I talk to people, there's still so many people that are like, what the hell is a Letterboxd? Or rather, what's a Letterboxd? But for me, for somebody who uses that app like non-fucking stop, to see my thing pop up there is just so fucking cool. That was like one of those pinch me moments where I was like, wow, I got to just like live in this moment for a little bit and just appreciate it.
Yeah. What was the process of getting it on there? Did you do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have to like get approved by the app or whatever?
I don't know, because I always kind of figured that it would aggregate from IMDb, but there's this other site called the Movie Database, which is basically TMDb, and it pulls from there instead of IMDb. And it's a real motherfucker of a process, too, because I was kind of hoping I could just do like a plug and play since the IMDb listing for the movie is so full. I was like, all right, maybe I can just... There's like a link or a code I can copy that'll just populate it with that information. There isn't. I had to do it all person by person. A lot of people don't have pictures up on there, so I was trying to get pictures of people up just so, you know, the cast list isn't just a bunch of, you know, like Twitter eggs. And that whole thing is a fucking nightmare. It's like, it's so finicky about the image dimensions and stuff that all this shit just kept getting kicked back. It's like, nope, that's not the proper ratio. And it's like, well, can you tell me if I'm fucking hot or cold? Like, right or wrong is not much help. I sat there for hours resizing images, re-uploading them, and it was like, nope, rejected. So a lot of them I was just like, I don't know what the fuck this fucking website wants from me, but I can't get it. But I think what happens is every 24 to 30 hours, Letterboxd sort of refreshes and then just pulls whatever new is there. So that's kind of how a movie ends up there on the old D, the old Letterboxd D.
So is it on the D or is it not on the D?
Oh, it's there. It is there. I saw a lot of people in the Puminati have already added it to like their watch lists and they've given it a heart. Which, you know, we play the Letterboxd D game a lot on this show, and we're always kind of flummoxed as to how certain movies are higher than other ones. And I've looked at some of the cast's pages, and John Cooper has already jumped up a couple spots, so it's not like their least popular project. So I think just a combination of people putting it on their watch list, throwing it a heart, putting it on lists, all that shit, helps the popularity of it. So every now and then throughout the day, I'll just open it up and pull the listing up and be like, oh, man, that's so fucking cool. Can't get over how fucking cool that is. So yeah, there's your John Cooper update. I guess there's until it sells, there's not going to be that many more updates. So I guess I can just kind of fill you in on the rest of the timeline. Friday, the sound team, I went in person with the sound team and helped them line up all the score cues and background music and stuff. So that's all set. They've mixed all the dialogue. The Foley / sound effects have all been put in but haven't been mixed. And this week, all that stuff is getting mixed. We're getting a link on Friday. Me and the producers, we give a whole bunch of notes. Tuesday, we go in person to watch the movie with all of our notes put in place. We give another set of notes. Go in person again on Thursday, and then granted everything is where we asked it to be, Friday it gets sent back to the editor. The editor mixes everything down into the final product, and then we have to get a... Oh, God, what's it called? I think it's called a DC... Man, I sound like a real fucking idiot. a DCP, I think? I'm going to Google this real quick. Yeah, I did it. A digital cinema package. So when you show a movie in a theater, it has to be converted to a digital cinema package, and that's how they project it in high def, I guess. So it's not like we just get the MP4 or the .mov of the film, send it to a projectionist, and they just do that. We have to go through the whole process of getting this fucking thing made, which I think can take like a week or two. So again, everything kind of has to line up on schedule in order to make the premiere date. So it's been...
No pressure.
Been a little You'll stressful. A little bit. A little bit. A little bit. But it's exciting. It's exciting. This is the home stretch. And then after that, just got to sell this motherfucker. And then it's on to the next one. Fingers crossed.
You have an idea of what the next one, like what you're going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you have an idea, but is it like mentally locked in stone?
Yeah. So I'm about 16 pages into my next script.
So it's a new one. It's not one that you've had in the chamber.
No, I'm gonna let those be. So if this does open some doors and people want to make more things that I've written, like I've got the classics, I got the hits, I got Iron Lung, I've got Zombie Beach Party, I've got like a couple other ones, one or two that aren't even all that polished, but you know, a first draft is at least done. But this one, I think you guys would like the premise of this one. It's another like comedy mashup type thing. But I want to rush the first draft and get it registered because it's an idea that I can't believe hasn't been done yet. So I'm trying to every time I have like a free moment where I'm not working on like, you know, the 7 shows we do a week for Patreon and stuff, and then the John Cooper stuff, I want to race through this thing and get the first draft registered just so I can fucking camp on that idea. But anyway, Shuddy, you also mentioned that you had like a, like we were trying to decide what we like better on Biggie albums, Ready to Die or Life After Death. And you mentioned you had something similar to discuss this week.
I do. Yeah. I was listening for my Patreon, blog series, Wax of the Week. I was listening to Life After Death because last week was the 27th anniversary of it, which means it was also, it's been 27 years since Biggie was killed. But there's a song near the end of the two discs called The World Is Filled that has Diddy and Too Short in it.
The world is filled with pimps and hoes. I'll just talk about those I know.
Yep, that's the one. And
the world is mine. Can't you see? I'm just trying to be all I can be.
Damn. I mean, he can do it right before your verse.
I mean, he did. He did, really, because right after that, it goes into Diddy's verse that I've never noticed before.
Oh, have certain news stories put these lyrics in a new light?
Oh, let me read them to you. Now, first come the cash, then come the ass, then come big blunts with big chunks of hash.
Yeah,
when I swear with a whore, she be game for sure. Pimp so hard, a ninja drag his mink on the floor. That's the first one.
There you go.
That's the first one. Won't you admit it? I ain't got to talk because I live it. Any chick fucking with me, believe me, that's a privilege. I won't be satisfied till all my ninjas get it.
Oh, you think when he says all my ninjas get it, he means his dick?
Yeah, but just wait. See, you hit it, then I hit it. We get it back to split it.
Oh, yeah.
You had a thumbs up going.
Zoom was like, we agree.
And Big B, that ninja, we be flying through your hood and hood rats scoping with their eyes on my goods. See, we date them like we hate them. See them like we don't need them. Rent is keeps picking it up on my phone.
Rent's like, this MF spitting fire.
Treat them like we need them and never give up freedom. And we only give our numbers to selected few. And it's best that you never knew what good head'll do. Turn a freak to a bisexual. And if she's flexible, fuck the ninja next to you.
Man, I really thought you were going to miss saying ninja on that last one.
That's the one that I was most worried about.
Me too. Wow, it's crazy. Like, as you were going through those lyrics, like, the song just started playing in my head. And I was like, I know this entire verse.
Yeah, it's one that I just listened, never really paid attention to. And in light of recent things, it's like, maybe.
I mean,
maybe he's been doing this for a while.
Laying some breadcrumbs.
I mean, I still remember, like, there was one lyric when Mace became a preacher. I was like, Mace is a preacher. I mean, doesn't he have a lyric that says, if she makes my nuts itch, I'll kill that slut bitch? Now this fucking guy's going to read the Bible to me? Give me a fucking break. Come on.
He got out of that pretty quickly in defense of.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now he's doing a... You've never seen the Cameron podcast? Him and Cameron are out and do a podcast together. Have you seen this? You've seen it,
which
right?
Which I can't wrap my head around. It's a sports podcast, right?
It's like a sports culture podcast. They have O.J. Simpson as a regular guest, just weighing in on sports topics. They call him Uncle O.
Here's one of the greatest murderers of our time.
Yeah, I think Cameron has known murderers before, so he's forgiving, apparently.
How many, like, big name rappers? Because just about all of them, there's only, like, a handful of rappers that are like, you know what? There's enough violence and sex and, like, you know, just sort of bad morals in hip-hop. We're going to have, like, positive and clean lyrics, you know?
Sinners, if you
not
will.
Not even clean lyrics, but just, like, you know, we're not going to talk about violence and say, like, it's cool to kill people if they piss you off and fuck bitches.
Are you making a pro Macklemore argument?
Oh, God, no. I was thinking more like...
I mean, what are you looking at? I don't know. What are you looking at?
Like, yeah, De La Soul.
Yeah, like De La Soul. Common. Common's got, like, positive lyrics, right? Or no?
Yeah.
Sure.
Common. Sure. I would consider Common conscious rap.
That's the term for it? Conscious rap?
Yeah. Yeah. De La Soul, Tribe Called Quest.
Chance the Rapper? Maybe not conscious, but
Far Side.
You can play him with Mom in the Car.
Oh yeah, Far Side. Yeah, Far Side makes sense. Yeah, you know,
Queen Latifah.
There's rappers like that, and then there's rappers that are like, yeah, I've killed 5 million people. You piss me off, I'm gonna kill you. I kill that guy, I'll kill you, I'll kill him, I'll kill your neighbor just because I wanted to kill him.
Like, it doesn't really rhyme, but all right.
How many of those people do you think have actually committed murder? Like, I know everybody was kind of like, yeah, I would not fuck around with Mobb Deep, even though I know Prodigy is now dead. But do you think Mobb Deep ever killed anybody for real?
No. King Von did.
Well, that, like, stuff that's been proven, but, like, you know, rappers that talk a bunch of shit, but it's actually like, yeah, that guy, he actually has killed a few people in the hood.
Like, who do I think is the most? I mean, Gucci Mane killed someone, but he got off for self defense. He has, like, the Gucci Mane has one of the craziest hip hop stories ever. Shuddy, are you familiar with it?
Not. I know who Gucci Mane is. I've never heard Gucci Mane though. That I know.
I kind of like his music, but he had a beef with Young Jeezy back in the day, and Young Jeezy's associates, and I think Young Jeezy planned a kidnapping of Gucci Mane at a strip club. They got, like, a stripper to get him back to her place, and a couple of his homies were waiting there with guns. They tied him up. And we're like, we're going to take a video of and send it to Young Jeezy. I think that's how the story goes. They're going to take a video and whatever. While he was tied up, he got out of the restraints, got one of their guns, and killed one of them.
Oh.
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah. They did a...
God damn.
Remember that shit, which we're kind of doing, or we kind of did last week, just talking it out. We didn't actually play the songs. And you were a part of it on my one podcast, Fade the Media, way back then. But remember the Versus shit they did in the pandemic?
Yeah.
They had one with Gucci Mane and Young Jeezy that got really fucking awkward. Because, like, Gucci Mane's like, I killed one of your men. What's up? Like... Had it been pre-internet days, like, there would have been a fucking shit. Like, someone would have died in that room for sure. And it was crazy. And, like, I forget how, like, Young Jeezy tried to like, defuse the situation. But, like, he pretty much took the approach, like, yeah, it was back in our wild, crazy days. And Gucci Mane's like, fuck that. Like, I had to kill my way out of a situation. Like, I'm not dropping it. but it's like one of the craziest hip hop stories ever. And yeah, he got let off for self-defense because all this shit was documented.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Man. Well, I did see something because we were talking about Diddy last week, and I saw that Suge Knight said something about, like, we're about to get justice for Tupac. Did you see that?
Well, that's so the rumor has always been that guy that they arrested was put up to it by Bad Boy.
Yeah, he got paid $1 million to shoot Pig. Or no, Tupac, Tupac.
That guy that just recently went to court about it? Or recently got charged?
Didn't he die too?
Did he?
Oh, well,
I thought he died. Like it all happened recently. Like, he was charged recently. Hold it up. Don't
remember the dude's name.
Let me see.
Tupac.
Last thing I see.
Keith D.
Yeah, suspect in Tupac murder case granted bail. I just saw that in a news story from January.
Yeah, no, I'm tripping then. No, I mean, he's not dead now.
So the theory is that because of the chain incident, somebody's Bad Boy chain got stolen.
Yeah.
By Tupac's crew, somebody on death row. And so that's why. And
there was a label beef?
Diddy hired this guy to shoot Tupac over that. But now, who shot Biggie?
Fucking beats me.
That's a cold case, for sure.
As far as I know, last time I checked in, they had no idea.
Yeah, I mean, are they only worried about who shot Tupac, or are they still trying to find out who shot Biggie?
Well, this guy was... he wrote a book about it, didn't he? Or, like, it was in a book. Like, they didn't investigate. It was pretty much emailed to them, like, hey, this guy's bragging about shooting Tupac.
Well, he's been bragging for years that he was in the car with the shooter.
Right.
And would never give up the shooter. And so it looks like he was actually the shooter.
I mean, didn't they just get the guy that killed Grandmaster Jay?
I think so. I think it was like this month last month.
Yeah, it was it was March when they arrested the dude who killed Grandmaster Jay, who ended up being a friend.
Yeah.
And cousin.
I mean, hip hop's a fucking dangerous business to get into, man. A lot of people get killed, and even if you survive, it seems like just nature gets a lot of people. Like, I think, who's the guy from Gangstar? Is it Guru?
Yeah.
Well, it's Guru and DJ Premier.
Yeah, Guru, I think, died of like leukemia or something. Prodigy from Mobb Deep, I think he died of sickle cell.
Yeah, I mean, he had sickle cell his whole life.
Yeah, and
who's from De La Soul. What's it, the dude from Tribe Called Quest?
Oh, yeah, Fife.
Yeah, Fife Dog.
I mean,
they all died of medical problems.
And then Coolio and DMX. I'm sure you could just chalk that up to poor lifestyle decisions, but still died very, very young in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, Adam Yauch from
Beastie Boys. Yep.
Yeah. Adam Yauch, huh?
How do you say it? I haven't said. Yeah.
Adam Chalk from the Beastie Boys.
Who's the oldest rapper?
It's like, Jeff, when you slam the car door on your finger, you're like, Yauch! The oldest living rapper.
Well, I mean, some of the guys from Sugar Hill Gang are still alive. I'm pretty sure DJ Kool Herc is still alive.
I mean, some of the Wu-Tang guys got to be getting up there. But, I mean, ODB.
I mean, Jizza's in his 60s, I'm pretty sure.
I mean, that
Hold on. That can't be right.
I feel like...
That can't be right.
60s is like way past rapper life expectancy.
He's 57. GZA is 57. He's the oldest member of the Wu.
Man, protect that man.
He was just a week and a half ago. He was in Philly.
I saw him live like 5 years ago.
With his,
I'm missing much. Fortunately,
the Funky Nomads, his live band.
Man, well, there we go. You, looking back on Diddy lyrics.
Do you cover hip hop beef, Shuddy, on Shuddy's Wax of the Week?
Only when it's relevant to something I'm listening to. It's just basically album reviews and little anecdotes of my experience listening to them.
You haven't followed the Kendrick, Drake, J. Cole thing?
I have not, but funny you mention that, because for this week I wanted to go with as much various gangster rap as I could, and I am listening for the first time to Pimp a Butterfly.
Nice. That's Rob Sprance's favorite Kendrick Lamar album.
So I saw something. Again, it was just like some social media post that I saw on the surface and didn't dig further into, but it was something about Eminem years ago giving a warning to Drake saying, like, one day they're going to fucking come for you, man. And then it was like, and current day, all these rappers have now unfollowed and disassociated themselves with Drake. So are people now thinking he's a cornball, or what's going on there?
Oh, I don't know about that. That's not what I was talking about. I mean, he's like so successful. He went on like a fucking 10-year run. He might still somewhat, like, he's probably coming out of it, but he went on like a Tom Hanks, like Michael Jordan run, where he made like $50, $60 million per year and dropped like an incredible amount of hit records. But no, I was just referencing the Kendrick was in a song off of Future and Metro Boomin's new album called Like That. And he dissed J. Cole and Drake, kind of Drake, definitely J. Cole. Because J. Cole in a recent song called First Person Shooter rapped that it's him, Drake, and Kendrick in a big three. So Kendrick said something like, there is no big three, it's only big me. And had some other lines. Yeah.
I like that.
Kendrick will do that here or there. But he needs to come out with a new album, a good hip hop album, because I don't like his most recent. And I love J. Cole, because fucking J. Cole is a St. John's grad. Dude, one of my college roommates played Halo with J. Cole when we were freshmen. Yeah. It's fucking sick. I played basketball against him, but like
against J. Cole.
Yeah, but I didn't remember. He wasn't J. Cole at the time. I didn't pick up on it. But I was told after the fact, like years, like, oh yeah, he used to play at Tafner. That was like the pickup gym that would play basketball at.
Yeah,
but so I want to root for J. Cole, but I like Kendrick more as a rapper. And the diss was hard. I liked that whole album, actually. But
well, we've gotten a lot of hip hop news.
Yeah, but right. Well done, fellas. I'm proud of how we handled all those subjects.
Would you gentlemen be interested in some news of a different variety?
Sure.
Yeah.
Are you having a good day? Well, I'm about to ruin it.
Oh, no.
This is Groupie's Bad News. Oh, hello there, gentlemen.
Hello, Droopy. We were not expecting you. Very nice to see you, sir.
Well, you can't have a discussion about your favorite rappers without mentioning me. DJ Jizzy Droop, as they call me.
It was in a war you had bars, Droop.
Yeah. when these hoes see my red rocket coming. All right, you know what? I'm just going to stick to the stories. did you?
I was really hoping for the exclusive Droopy freestyle. That's a bummer that you pulled out of that, Droop.
Yeah, thought there was going to be a couple bars there. I was excited.
Now you got to pay for the full thing.
We might get, that might have gotten us featured like on XXL Mag, you know.
What rhymes with Red Rocket? We can get there. Damn it.
Toad the Wet Sprocket.
All right, yeah. Let's stick to the news.
Okay. A 59-year-old man in Pennsylvania was sitting in his home last week when his neighbor entered. The neighbor, Zach Moyer, was wearing a scream mask, and then he pulled out a knife and chainsaw and killed him.
Oh.
Wait. The person wearing the scream mask killed the occupant, or the occupant saw the guy in a scream mask and then cut him up with a chainsaw in defense?
No, the intruder wearing a scream mask pulled out weapons and murdered this man in his own home.
That's truly horrifying.
Yeah. I mean, that's a hell of a way to go out.
Who that was?
Lots of people watch those scary movies, but imagine Ghostface just coming in and actually murdering you. It's a hell of a final image, huh?
That would be absolutely terrifying, obviously, before dying. But, like, what the fuck? Trooper, you know if they caught the guy?
Yes. The man in the scream mask, after he killed the man, surveillance cameras show him walking out of the back door of the residence, walking across the backyard, and then entering his own home. It was his actual neighbor.
Now,
when he got back home, he sat down on the couch and put on a movie. Most probably Scream. That would be my guess.
Probably like La La Land or a fucking musical.
He did a Barbenheimer. Yes, Eddie.
Did he eat any of his neighbor?
No, there was no cannibalism. At least none was reported. I believe he just committed the murder. He got what he came for, went home, and just enjoyed the film. But he was promptly arrested. They interviewed this man's family, and the killer's sister told police that her brother had mentioned wanting to kill this neighbor in the past. So, you know, he follows through.
So were there any other people in the house, or how quickly did this all get resolved?
They didn't really say, but I believe he was arrested that night. The man who was attacked and murdered, they did rush him to the hospital. So they came that night, but he did die at the hospital. He had defensive wounds on his hands and arm, so he was trying to block the attacks, but he did get fatally stabbed in the head. It was a massive cut right above his right eyebrow. I do have to say, though, this killer is kind of stupid, because Ghostface, I don't think he ever really brandishes a chainsaw. He got his killers mixed up.
He did.
Doesn't know the movies.
What an idiot.
Do you think the cut on the gentleman's head was from the, you said it was a chainsaw and a machete?
They didn't specify, but a knife. It was a knife and a chainsaw.
Okay. So the wound on his head, when they say a massive wound, do you think that he took a chainsaw to the skull or a hack from the knife blade? And which would be worse?
In all honesty, Shuddy Boy, I was as hungry as you are for more details, because I imagine it's hard to whip around both a knife and a chainsaw. I imagine you'd need to double hand a chainsaw. So unless this guy was very strong or good at multitasking, it appears the fatal wound in the head was a stabbing.
But I believe you could, if you really wanted to, stab somebody with a chainsaw.
Imagine him flailing about with a chainsaw in one hand and a knife in the other. Like one of those unable to control the chainsaw very well, just kind of going around the room comically until he finally accidentally hits him in the head.
I mean, yeah, I think if you're faced with a similar intruder, you have to activate Jackie Chan mode and try to throw like chairs at his feet or a banana peel, and hopefully he slips, and then one of the weapons that he's carrying murders him instead.
Like in Smoking Aces?
I believe you remember that movie better than I do, Shetty.
The guy has a chainsaw, and he swings it around, and he misses, and he ends up coming so far around that he cuts himself in half.
That's pretty awesome. So,
was that with Josh Hartnett and Jeremy Piven?
And Ryan Reynolds, Alicia Keys, Common, Chris Pine.
I remember being underwhelmed
Andy
about that
Garcia.
Movie.
I really enjoyed it a lot.
I might have to give that one a rewatch. Well, in other news, a 34-year-old man in Colorado has some very interesting pets. Jeff, do you know what a Gila monster is?
A Gila monster?
Yes.
No. I would say actually pigs are big. I was going to call it a big pig. I don't even have a guess at a Gila monster.
Do you want to guess if it's a mammal or something else?
I was going to guess mammal, yeah.
It's now pronounced the way it's spelled. It's spelled G-I-L-A. So it looks like Gila monster, but I believe it's pronounced Gila. It's actually a lizard. So, not a mammal. It can grow up to 22 inches. And it also happens to be venomous. So, when one of the man's pet Gila monsters bit him, he was rushed to the hospital for treatment, where 4 days later, he died.
Wow, dude. Wait, when you told me what kind of animal it was, it broke up on my end. What is it?
It's a lizard.
Gotcha.
Oddly enough, bites from the Gila monster are usually painful, but not fatal. In fact, there hasn't been a death from a Gila monster since 1930. So, talk about your bad luck.
That is bad luck.
I mean, I guess that's how you end up in my news brief.
Yeah, there's no lucky people on Droopy News.
Nope, just you, the listener. Animal control was called to the man's house, where they also found 26 spiders of different species. So I have a feeling, Jeff, you would not want to go over to this man's house for coffee.
No, I'd rather put on the screen mask and pay him a little visit.
Not to disparage any of the Puminati in case, but spiders are a weird pet to keep.
I mean, I had one. You remember that, right?
Mm-mm, I don't remember. The only pet I remember other than Gizmo and Razor is Smokey.
Oh, yeah. So I actually, because I had Smokey was my Colombian red tail boa that I got. And it was when I had my first apartment when I was like 20. And, you know, we had parties there every single night. And some people were afraid of the snake. So sometimes I would have it like wrapped around me at parties, and people wanted to hold him or interact with them or just see him from a distance. And some people were scared out of their fucking minds.
I would just
minds.
Not go to that party. Fuck that.
Yeah, there was my one friend, Crystal. She could not be around the snake. So like if she saw it, it wasn't even like, oh no, a snake. She was like, there'd be like a pile of smoke in the shape of her, and then the wind would blow it away and there'd be nobody there. She would be home 10 seconds later. So I would always just leave it in my room in his cage. And if we, like people, like, you know, we would have smoke sessions in my room sometimes, and there are a few people where I even had to put like a blanket over his glass case so people couldn't see him. But I made some joke about how like the next pet I got was going to be a tarantula, and I was just going to see how many fucking creepy animals I can keep in my room. But it was a joke. I don't like spiders. They freak me out. I don't kill them. I will, like, in a very cowardly way, try to trap them in something and throw them out the window.
As you should, because spiders are vital to the ecosystem.
Yeah.
I'll murder the fuck out of a spider.
See, I'm not a spider murderer, but I am frightened of them. So this girl that I was dating, I came home from work one day, and she was like, "Happy birthday," and there's a fucking tarantula in my room. And I was like, I don't want this. But I had to, like, you know, it was my girlfriend, so I had to be like, "Yay, thank you." And I would go, when I would go and buy feeders for the snake, I would buy these little, you know, Tupperwares of crickets. And I would just fucking open the lid, dump them in, and shut it real quick. And that was my whole interaction. I made sure the spider had food and water, and that was it. I was going to keep that thing alive, but I didn't want to pet it. I didn't want to play with it. I didn't want to take it out. And after her and I broke up, I know she got it from the same pet store that I get my feeders from. So I just brought it to them one day and I was like, "Take this. Like, I've been taking care of it for a few months now. I'm scared of spiders. I do not want this. I'm not asking for a refund. Put it back in the fucking inventory and resell it." And they're like, "Okay." So they just took
a happy ending for you and the spider.
Yeah. Man, that fucking thing. It one time, I don't know what was going on, but it just wasn't hungry. So all the crickets that were in there just started fucking. And then out of nowhere, it just became filled with baby crickets. And I didn't have to go to the pet store for a really long time because it was just eating them as it went. But it was also like a deafening symphony of crickets in my room at night. So until he started really thinning the herd, it was tough sleeping.
And then that's
awful.
Yeah, that was not fun. Chiba, R.I.P. Chiba the tarantula, probably.
How does Droopy feel about spiders?
Huh? Oh, they're delicious.
How many years did tarantulas make? You said R.I.P.
I mean, that was over 20 years ago, so I'm sure that thing's dead.
Okay.
Let's
Maybe
see.
Not. I don't know.
A female tarantula can live 20 to 25 years.
Maybe
a
not.
Male only lives 7 to 8.
Well, I never check for a dick or a pussy, so I don't know. Chiba the spider could be still alive.
If Chiba the spider is still alive, it's safe to surmise that Chiba is now living under an assumed name.
Probably, yeah. Went into witness protection. I actually, man, speaking of that story that Droopy did, I got fucking bit by a lizard once, like a big lizard. I don't know if it was a Gila lizard or a Gila monster, but...
Well, where were you?
Trust.
I mean, I was at the original SiriusXM LA studios, and I got bit by a whole bunch of animals that day. And after I got bit by this big lizard, the room started spinning, and I got really nauseous, and I had to, like, lay down on the couch, and I couldn't sit up. I was like couch locked for hours.
How big was it though? Wasn't that a monitor? Wasn't it a big lizard? Because a Gila monster only grows to 22 inches, so that's like that.
I do believe it was bigger than that.
Whose idea was this?
I mean, it was on the Ellis show.
Oh.
And this dude, Donald Schultz, used to like bring all these cool animals. Like one time he brought this enormous, enormous frog, and Aerosmith was in the same building as us rehearsing. Like they rented. It was like a band rehearsal space that they just let us use the back closet for.
Aerosmith. Those are the guys that did the Armageddon soundtrack. Am I right?
The one and same. Yeah. So apparently Steven Tyler saw all the animals getting brought in. And while the show was on and I was call screening, Steven Tyler just walks back. He's like, "Hey, man, I heard you got some crazy animals." Ah! And I'm like, yeah, dude, you want to see some of them? And he, without missing a beat, like, was ripping the lids off of these cages and just bare hand grabbing these fucking giant animals. He had this huge fucking frog that you can't even hold with two hands. And he's like picking it up and shoving it in his face. I was like, oh my God, this dude's out of his fucking mind. Anyway, I'm sorry, Droopy. I didn't mean to steal your spotlight.
Okay, now Droopy's pissed.
I'm just going to bottle my rage up and press on. Finally today, a 39-year-old woman in Connecticut who never knew her true lineage due to the fact that she looked absolutely nothing like her father, she decided to take a 23andMe test, which revealed her actual father was a fertility doctor who used his semen against the family's wills to impregnate her mom. And the test revealed that she has at least 22 siblings and counting from this man.
Fuck. That's like that. It's like the opposite version of that one doctor who killed all the patients, like 150 patients or some shit, like a big number. This dude just impregnating people.
Oh yeah, and the biggest revelation to come out of all of this is the fact that she fucked her brother.
Whoa.
Fuck, dude.
As she was looking down the list of siblings she has due to this doctor using his own semen, she found out one of her relatives is a guy that she dated in high school. And they did, in fact, go to the bone zone.
So, that's a very traumatizing experience for this young lady. Did she, I guess she reached out to her brother?
I believe she is quite angry and disgusted. So anybody,
sure,
anybody out
reaction.
There who, if you're listening to this and you're having a bad day, just remember it could always be worse.
Yeah, you didn't fuck your brother.
Yeah. Shockingly, most states don't even have laws against doctors doing this. So even when cases like this pop up where the doctor gets busted, it's usually a long, difficult road to bring any sort of charges against a fertility doctor secretly using his own sperm for impregnating his clients. At least it
wasn't just looked down upon. It's not really illegal. Legal.
Yes, that's correct.
I guess this morning.
I think we have an audio sample from that doctor.
I guess this morning.
And there you have it. This has been today's installment of Droopy's Bad News.
Thanks, Droopy.
I aim to please. Much like that fertility doctor.
Man.
Hold on. Hold on, Droopy.
I mean, if you find that out, is that something... That might be one of those things I'm just going to keep that to myself. I'm not going to call some girl that I hooked up with in high school and be like, hey, by the way, we're related. Bye!
Yeah, I wouldn't bring it up either. Well, I mean, don't you kind of have to in the sense that, like, that guy deserves to know who his real father is?
I mean, well, what about you? If you hooked up with some girl in high school, you don't hear from her for 20-something years, and then out of nowhere your phone rings, and she's like, hey, I just did, like, a 23andMe test, and we're brother and sister.
Oh! That's hot! You're the Joe Dirt. I'm your sister. I mean, I'm your sister. I'm your sister.
Would you want to know, Shuddy?
I mean,
if you fucked a blood relative, I might just be like, fucking ignorance is bliss. Just let me die happy.
Ignorance is bliss, but it knowing would prevent it from happening again.
You mean like going back for seconds, 25 years later?
You know, a lot of not old people, but people that dated when they were younger, they do tend to reconnect as older folks.
Yeah, that's what Facebook is for. But, like, let's say this girl finds out and she's looking at your Facebook page and she's got the mouse hovering over a message. You want her to follow through and let you know. Because, I mean, the only way you guys would hook up again is if
she was into it,
but she already knows the truth.
It's hard to say how I would actually react in that situation. You didn't know that you were related when you were fucking, so finding out later doesn't mean you necessarily did something wrong on purpose.
No, but now it's all fucking gross.
Well, I mean, it's always gross. This is whether or not you have all the
information.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, what I want, I guess I would not want to receive that call, would be the answer to your question.
I think, but I might be with Jeff on this one.
If it was me making the call, I feel like I should have to make the call. Right? Does that make sense the way I said it?
Yeah, I guess it's almost like, you know, if you find out you have an STD and you hooked up with somebody recently, like, it's going to be a rough fucking call to make, but you got to do the right thing. But, like,
Hey, we liked each other, you know, but we just couldn't really figure out what that was. So, well, it turns out we're brother and sister.
Yeah. You know why we were so compatible? Because we're related.
Yeah. Want to come over for Christmas this year?
I mean, come on, it's not that weird. The fucking royal family's been doing it for generations. Everybody thinks they're cool.
Yeah, now they all have cancer, so.
Oh, you think that might be it? Might be cancer of the inbred loins?
Well, I don't know. It just, King Charles has pancreatic cancer.
Oof, that's a bad one, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the one that got Swayze.
That is the one that got Swayze.
Oh, brutal.
Too soon.
Fucking brutal.
Too soon.
Yeah, that sucks. Well, shit, I didn't mean to fucking drag us down like that.
Yeah, you did.
Hey, on a brighter note, the great Cheech Clark has crossed into his 30s.
Yeah, 30.
Oh, shit.
Baby Cheech, a baby no more.
Yeah, the boy becomes a man, I think, is what he said.
Yeah. I mean, Cheech's gatherings, you know, they're always a fun time, you know.
Was it? It's already been a year since
Pukey.
Yeah. Wow.
Since Cheech was,
well, but he also prior to that was having the night of his life.
Yeah, he had a fantastic 29th birthday. His 29th birthday,
like
his 30th should have been.
He had a nice curvaceous woman to dance with that he was dancing with the last time. Is that not correct?
I'm not sure about her curves, but she was urban. Cheech was celebrating diversity as I do Thanksgiving. Or as I did on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And you know, I missed Cheech's birthday last year because Carl and I were in Japan. So when Jeff hit me up and he was like, yeah, we're gonna go see Dave Attell for Cheech's birthday, I was like, yeah, fuck yeah. Carl and I are in.
Yeah.
You guys went and saw Dave Attell opened by Jason Ellis?
We did.
Yeah.
We did.
Thanks for cutting straight to the punchline, Shuddy. But,
sorry. I'm sorry. Well,
we had
what happens when we don't have meetings to figure out what we're going to talk. I apologize.
I mean, I don't understand how the fuck you knew that when we didn't. Like I the tickets were just like Dave Attell.
Yeah, we had such a big party that we couldn't buy all the there was like nine of us that went to the show, or seven of us that went to the show. And so Kevin had to buy his own tickets for him and Carl, and then we bought five for our team, and neither one of us saw who was going to else was on the set list or whatever.
It didn't say. It just said Dave Attell at the Brea Improv. And then while we were at dinner, I was like, hey, does anybody know like who's opening? And Bill thought it was Ian Fidance. And I was like, all right, yeah, I know Ian. That's a cool lineup. Because, I mean, we've done that one time when we bought tickets that was billed as Anthony Jeselnik and Tiffany Haddish. I was like, that's a fucking cool lineup. And we go to the Improv. This was the Hollywood Improv. And Anthony Jeselnik did 5 minutes. And then Tiffany Haddish did like an hour. And I think that was it, right? They were the only two comics?
No. I think David Attell showed up, actually.
David Attell? So formal.
Yeah, sorry. Well, after that shitty poll this weekend.
I mean, I don't fully remember. I'll be completely honest. I do remember we were all just shocked at how short Jeselnik's set was. And he even seemed like bummed out in his material. Like he referenced it, like saying he took the gig thinking it was like a co-headlining thing and like, well, fuck, now I'm here and I'm doing like 10 minutes.
I mean, it was billed as he was the headliner. I felt duped. I was fucking pissed. That's the last time I've been to that. It was the Improv, right?
Yeah.
It's the last time I've been to the Hollywood one. But yeah, this past weekend was the Brea one. So yeah, I had no idea who was going to be on the, what other comedians were performing.
Yeah.
But
same, and we get there.
That was weird.
And
like, did you?
The opener, the host, I thought she was really good. I mean, all the comics were good.
And Shuddy, did you pick up on? Do you still follow Ellis on social media? Is that how you knew?
Yeah, that's how I knew.
Oh yeah, gotcha. I guess that's makes where. I guess that's where the crack in this story came from. Us not following Ellis anymore, because like, I mean, we sit down and you know after we had dinner, you know, the potheads of the group all got in a circle and we smoked a joint and drove over to the venue and plopped down and I was nice and toasted, ordered some drinks and was right where I needed to be. And the comics were great. Like I thought she did a great job. All the other comics were really good. And you know, the host comes back out and she's like, all right, this next comic, he's a pro skater. And I was like, what? And I'm like, ugh. I grab fucking Carl's shoulder. She's like, and he's also a pro fighter. I was like, ugh! My fucking heart sinks. She's like, and he also does a show with Tony Hawk. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Ellis. The entire fucking table just turns and looks at me. And I was just like, oh. Like my fucking heart sunk. I was just like, what are the fucking odds? We go to like one comedy show, drive all the way to Brea, and Ellis is somehow fucking opening. I couldn't fucking believe it.
Yeah, David Attell was on Hawk versus Wolf. That's how I knew.
I saw that as well. So like when they called him up, when he was like, as they were calling him up, I was like, ah, this kind of makes sense. Because maybe it was just as simple as like, hey, my guy, I had someone drop out. You're doing comedy. You want to swing down to Brea? You know, when they were doing the podcast, it was that simple. Yeah. But yeah, no, I stood up and booed. I was like, fuck this.
Did you really?
No. I'm not turning in my ass, Pete. I mean, I don't like him, but no, I don't want those problems.
So how did it go?
I mean, it was fucking weird. I mean,
did he see you?
No, we were. I've never been to that venue before, and it's fucking massive, yeah. And it was sold out, and we were way in the back, so there was no way he would see me. But when the show ended, whoa. I got the fuck out of there as fast as I could.
Dude, I went up and I went to the bathroom in between, like maybe his set and Attell's set, and the back booths are where the comedians and their guests sat. He was like 5-10 feet from you.
What? Really?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he probably saw you.
Cause I mean, I went and took a piss at one point too, but I wasn't like scanning the room when I came back, but I took the long way and walked along the whole back wall instead of by the audience, not in like the separated hallway. So if he was sitting back there, I probably did walk by him.
Well, Tell did this thing where he called all the comedians on the stage and they did like this, like kind of like a roast thing, and they all just made fun of each other. That was like one of the big portions of Attell's set. So Jason Ellis is probably back in, you know, bouncing back and forth from stage to the guest section of the back booth. But yeah, dude, I saw him back there, and you were on the furthest end of the table, closest to him. And yeah, you were like 10 feet away from him.
Oh, shit. Well, I did not know that.
But he, like, I looked a couple of times, and he was like, you know, laughing, having a good time. I'd assume he didn't see you either, because it would have been awkward for both of you, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Like, Steph even said to me, excuse me, Carl, she was like,
ooh.
What would you have done if, like, I don't know, on the way out, you guys, like, walk past each other?
Oh, that would have been crazy. If you guys, like, were in the bathroom together at the same time.
Oh, my God.
You ran into each other at the bathroom?
I mean, I told her, I was like, I literally would have just been like, complete fucking coincidence, and just walked away.
Oh, man, that shit was a trip, though.
So wait, did you see, you saw him, so when you walked by and saw him like sitting down, that was after he had already gone up and done his act, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was sitting down watching Attell's act in the back booths, and I went to the bathroom. I think when I went to the bathroom, he had already gotten up from the back booths and got ready to get called on stage to do the roast thing.
Yeah.
So he wasn't there, so I didn't like pass him. I don't think he would recognize me. Like, we never really formally met. I went to one of his shows, one of them that you performed at the dive bar in North Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
And we talked, like, we said hello. Like, but I don't think he would have recognized me. Maybe, I don't know.
So, Shuddy, did you know this information before or after the show was already done?
Before.
Oh, fuck.
Well, I don't know. So the post that I saw was he posted before the show. But so I saw it like sometime during the day on Saturday.
Okay. Damn, yeah. Dude. We should have gotten a heads up. You should have given Kevin a heads up.
Well, how would I know? I didn't know you guys were going. Like, I don't get.
And I mean, I wouldn't have bailed on Cheech's. I wouldn't have bailed on Cheech's birthday over it.
Would it? Do you think it would have been worse to know in advance? Do you think
probably, yeah.
That you would have stressed about it? Like,
I wouldn't have stressed. I would just been like, oh, God damn it! All right, let's fucking get this over with.
Oh, I would have been perfectly acceptable if you bailed.
No, I would. No, come on. I'm not going to do that.
Like if Cheech, like if you told, like if we knew that Jason Ellis was going up there and Kevin, or you were like, Cheech, I don't want to go anymore. Cheech would have been like, yeah, dude, I get it.
No, I wouldn't have been a baby and bailed on you guys.
Do you want me to work at becoming a good enough fighter so I can defend your honor?
Dude, be his champion and beat Jason Ellis up.
That's what I'm saying. Should I train to be Kevin's champion?
Hasn't Ellis been training for like 20 years?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You got a lot of catching up to do, man.
Yeah, all you have to do, Shuddy Boy, is wait 30 years for him to be in his 80s and you not to be. Yeah.
Well, but he started training around this time your age, right? So by the time you get to his age, you'll be ready to fuck him up.
Yeah, but talk about an awkward night. Holy shit.
It was fun up until then. The restaurant was pretty good. Like you said, the comedians they did a pretty good job. Attell is always good. So it was fun, that was really weird.
How was his set?
I mean, he got a huge reaction from the crowd. He did well.
Dude, I feel like...
Did he get any reactions from you?
Me personally?
Yes.
I mean... Look, I'm a fucking terrible liar. Yeah, it was a good set. Yeah. Like if we were still homies and I was there and I talked to him afterwards, I would have been like, awesome set, dude. Like, you know. Can't fucking lie to you.
Is there, and you can plead the fifth, but if Jason Allen, if he was to eat a healthy dose of crow and apologize, is there a path to any sort of even slight reconciliation?
No.
That bridge is completely burned for good.
Oh, yeah. As far as I'm concerned, yeah.
I mean, and I'm not talking about working together. I'm just talking like...
No, it's, I mean...
And bygones be bygones. Not like, oh, Kevin, come back to the... Let's reconcile and come back to the show. I just mean like straight up reconciliation. You can be on good terms. Like,
no, can, I have no, no interest.
Okay.
I mean, it's one thing to blow all your money and fire me, but then to go on a show where I have no rebuttal and then to like cover your own ass by trashing me, saying I don't bring anything to the table, and then just straight up fucking making up lies, saying that I'm reaching out to people telling them not to do Ellis Mania. It's like, pick your fucking lane. You fire me because you don't have any money and do the whole like apologetic, like, oh, I wish I didn't have to, blah, blah, blah. But then speak on the other side of your mouth and lie and fucking insult me. I'm like I said when it happened, I'm not putting any effort into like starting wars or any shit like that. But no, when you if you fucking burn me like that, you can go fuck yourself for forever.
That's fair. I was just curious.
No. I'm
like, if he would have come up to you after the show and been like, "Dude, I'm so sorry. I'm glad you're here. What'd you think?" I mean, I know you would be cordial, but like, I just was wondering if that could ever be repaired.
No. That is.
So the only option is for me to get is to bulk up and become your champion.
Wait, why?
Because then
there needs to be justice somehow. Yeah. We need to get a Kevin W. somehow.
If forgiveness is off the table, then that only leaves war.
What if I go to one of the Halloween shops and they post up around October, I get a ghost face mask, then I hit up Home Depot, and then...
Let's not make those jokes. It's not so bad. Something happens.
No, my
I still wouldn't win the fight.
my whole approach is the same as it has been since this whole thing happened. My effort is going into my own shit. I don't need a champion to fucking go after him. I don't need people going after him. I don't need people to choose a side. You either listen to MSPH or him, but one or the other. Like, I don't give a fuck if people in the Puminati still listen. I'm not going to, like, again, that's effort that could be better spent on my own shit. I am a fairly vengeful guy, but in this situation, it's like, I don't know, I got out of Shawshank. I'm just happy that happened.
Turn the page, start a new chapter in your professional life.
Exactly.
You haven't been butthurt or down on anything you got going on since leaving the Ellis show, since, you know, the Ellis show thing ended for you. So at least not around me. So,
no.
Yeah.
I mean, like, look, if that never happened, I wouldn't have had the time to put into making a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
premieres. May 8th.
Yeah.
Sorry. May 8th. Launch into commercial mode.
The official premiere date. And it's you know, like, it's still at that phase where, you know, I have no idea what's going to happen with this fucking movie. It's like there are many, many instances of indie films getting shot, completed, and then they just fucking die. They don't go anywhere. They don't sell. No one buys them. I mean, even what would be a losing battle of, all right, just put it up on iTunes and Prime and try to make the budget back with rentals and purchases and stuff. Like, I heard that there are some movies that Prime and iTunes will just be like, nah, we're not even going to host you on our shit.
You said iTunes. That's not a thing anymore, right?
Apple TV?
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. Where do you rent movies if you don't? I guess there's the like Fandango. It used to be Vudu, and now it's Fandango at Home.
I think there's a sick program. I think you can get Morpheus and you can get everything for free, really.
Well, I would prefer my movie not to launch via Morpheus.
LimeWire, I think, and you can get whatever you want, really.
But then again, so that was just something that somebody told me that, like, you know, there's a last ditch effort of putting it up for rental, but then there are even times where you get denied. But there's this guy, so I don't even know, Shuddy Boy, if this would be on Dom's radar, but there are these classic bombs that have gained cult followings, you know, like The Room, like Troll 2, like Samurai Cop. So there's this guy who was, I guess, a successful real estate dude. And he always wanted to be a screenplay writer. He always wanted to be a filmmaker. And he had made so much money in real estate that he was just like, you know what? I'm done knocking on the door. I'm kicking this motherfucker in and I'm doing it myself. And he self-funded, wrote and directed and starred in a handful of movies. And they are notoriously bad. Like, you know, stuff that you and your friends would make in high school with a camcorder. But those are all on Prime. And I have a feeling if streamers pass on John Cooper, the people that accepted this guy's movies are in no position to turn down John Cooper.
Well, I mean, it's going to get sold for a lot of money, so we don't even need to have this conversation.
The guy's name is Neil Breen. Breen.
Thanks.
He's got movies called Double Down, I Am Here, .. Now, Fateful Findings, Twisted Pair. He's got a lot of them, and he did them all himself.
He's got seven of them.
And these posters are really entertaining. I've been wanting to watch one of this guy's movies because I've watched the trailers, and if you're like myself, Shuddy, and Dom, where you can get into, you know, a crappy movie for the laughs, this is what you're looking for. But unfortunately, there's no rent options.
Oh my God.
What's up, Shuddy?
I'm watching the trailer or something for one of them, and holy shit. It is garbage.
So, yeah, I have seen John Cooper. I know for a fact it will not be worse than these movies.
There.
I can say that with full confidence.
How many John Cooper dicks would you suck?
Oh, five. Come on.
All right, cool.
Oh, what do you have for us, Shuddy? So, is this like a little...
Everything is green screen.
people.
Let's go to another scene. Like,
oh, there he is. That's the man himself. That's him.
Look at that.
Hey, legit. I don't see anything wrong with that.
I mean, obviously, yeah. Obviously, I can't compete with a budget like this. Oh,
like what the fuck? Like, yeah. Who looks at that and be like, you know what? That's, I'm going to release this somewhere to the world. That's it.
Let's picture lock this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I am confident that this will be a movie where, worst case scenario, if it has to go up by rentals only, then so be it. You will be able to see it. So there you go. There you go. I feel that I am pregnant with a poop. So perhaps.
So let's not talk about our feelings.
No.
We're guys.
I have to go and make a duty, to put it delicately. So thank you, everybody, so much for listening. And if you need more MSPH in your life, please, I strongly suggest you check out our Patreon. It's very active. Lots of stuff going up. I've heard that a couple bangers of Jeff's snack attacks have dropped. So I'm
yeah.
Speaking of, please hold. I forgot I have something vital. Well, I don't know. Ooh. What have you done recently on Snack Attack, Jeff? Have you?
I reviewed Cheech's birthday cookies that my lady made him, and she is an exquisite baker.
Had so nothing from the National Biscuit Company?
No.
I shall return. Please hold.
Wait, are we about to get a live snack attack from Shuddy on the free show?
Really, anything could be happening.
Whoa.
Just got to hold. See what he comes up.
All right. So, yeah, patreon.com/madscientistpartyhour.
Pop a cork in here, poop.
Yeah, I'm breaking into a sweat here, but lots of good stuff there. And fellow movie nerds on the Movie Night with Kevin Patreon this week.
Churro, nice. Oh,
Shuddy's got churro. All right, I'll acknowledge them, so you put them down. Shuddy has churro Oreos.
Are there two creams in there?
It looks like it's sort of double stuffed. It's not two creams. It's churro flavored cream. It's regular cream on a vanilla cookie.
All right, Shuddy is taking a bite. It sounds delicious. I feel like we haven't seen a lot of fresh Oreo limited flavors.
So, as always, not the biggest fan of the vanilla cookie.
Oh, I do like the vanilla cookie.
Oh, actually, the fried dough flavored cookie with churro flavored cream.
Whoa. That sounds kind of epic.
I tried the dirt. What is it? Dirt cake Oreo cookies. You've ever had dirt cake when you were a kid?
Yeah. So you had Oreo flavored Oreos.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, that was how I felt when they had cookies and cream ones. I was like, isn't that Oreo?
These are good. I prefer the chocolate cookie, but.
And not the fried dough!
I'm not getting fried dough.
I mean, you just got to lean into everything churro if you're going to do a churro Oreo. So I get it.
It's really good, though. It is solid. But it's a middle tier Oreo. It's not a.
No.
It's not an upper echelon, but it's very good. I mean, is there really a bad Oreo?
There was one, but I can't remember what it was. It was like
the peppermint ones, right?
Oh, I thought it was the Pop Rocks one that we didn't like.
Yeah, but it was a peppermint Pop Rocks, wasn't it? Wasn't it a peppermint?
I don't know.
But
or it was no cherry cola. Cherry cola was what it was, I think.
The Movie Night with Kevin Patreon has finished its first month. I miscounted the Fridays, so I ended up doing 6 movies. And it was like the movies that had the biggest impact on me. And now moving on, that it's April, second month of the Patreon, a new theme, 80s action, kicking it off, of course, with Die Hard.
When you said Fridays at first, I was like, wait, what? You did Friday? That's pretty sweet.
So this Friday's episode is going to be on Die Hard. So if you're a Die Hard fan, it'll be worth a listen. Trust me. Patreon.com/movie night with Kevin. Check it out, please. You can also watch this on YouTube. YouTube.com/madscientistpartyhour. Every subscribe, like, and comment helps. So if you have a spare 30 seconds in your day, we'd very much appreciate it. Let's see, what else? Oh, yeah, you can also follow us on Instagram. I'm at Kevin Kraft.
At Shuddy Boy.
At Jeffro Records.
At MSPH Podcast and at John Cooper Movie. And if you have Letterboxd, a.k.a. Letterboxd, throw The Second Coming of John Cooper on your watch list, please. And if you don't have it, you should download Letterboxd. It's pretty sweet. Make an account.
And then put The Second Coming of John Cooper on your watch list.
Exactly. And if you are a sports junkie, check out Outkick Bets with Jeff Clark.
Yeah. Did you just fart? Probably do some I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I thought I heard you fart. You were leaning in a way, and then I heard a...
No. It was his butt plug.
Uh-huh.
I think it was my desk squeaking. I think I'm going to fire up some NBA podcasts this week. Even though the NBA has been just god-awful to me this year. College basketball is winding down, but we get the Masters next week. I'll definitely be doing a Masters podcast. So look out for that if you guys are into golf betting. But, yeah, that's on the docket for our kick bets in the near future.
Hell yeah. Check it out. All right, to our Patreon subscribers, we'll see you in a few minutes. And to everybody else, thank you for listening. But until next time, something! Yada, da-da, 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 meow, 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 check. Hey! Boopity boop boop up a dap a dap, floopity floop flop flip and flop and point po point, open and zoom, boop bop a boop a doop, click that fucking window. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Wait a second, why isn't this opening? Ah!
I'm a soft three.
That is true. Fuck yeah. Fuck,
like
fuck
Beetlejuice,
yeah.
He appears.
Me and my shrunken head.
It's like the Candyman.
I am here and ready for penis.
Kevin, you have magic powers.
Kevin, you're such a disease. You ever have one of those days where no matter how much you poop, it feels like you still have to poop?
Not usually. It's usually because of something I've eaten or because I'm not feeling well.
Mm. I was going to say yes.
Well, perhaps I fall into one of your categories, Shuddy.
Now, Jeff.
Yeah.
Does pooping... Kevin, is the recorder going? Because we need to have this.
It is.
Okay. Does pooping more frequently during the day increase the number of times you jerk off? Because then you have more turds to giz on.
Look at all these targets.
I don't jerk off every time I poop. I poop sometimes when I jerk off.
It's just a coincidence.
Should I take a couple birds with one stone? Do a little shower, a little shitting, a little jerking off.
Yeah, Jeff's a lumberjack. He likes to stand up and saw one of the logs in half with his giz.
Oh, did you? We don't have to discuss it. But while I'm thinking about it, did you see my text earlier, Kevin?
Oh, fuck. Yeah, sorry. Ben. Yes, those dates will be fine.
Okay.
I thought you were talking about the group chat. I was like, wait, Kelly, what's so pressing about Kelly Preston?
No. I texted him my travel dates for that thing before I bought my ticket.
Are we ready to discuss that thing publicly? That thing. What's that from?
What a beautiful voice you have. It's Lauryn Hill.
It is. She has one of the hottest takes ever where she said she would rather one black baby die than one white person buy her album.
Is that true?
I don't know. It went around pre-internet days, so.
I don't know. Based on how she reacted to people being rightfully upset that she rolls into her shows 2 hours late, that doesn't seem like that far off base for her.
I saw her live once on a set list or on a at a concert with Nas, Mobb Deep, Cypress Hill, some other like legend, and she sucked. And I was like, I was pretty pumped to see Lauryn Hill. I was very disappointed.
Well, I mean, it's good you had so many other acts to dilute it with. I mean, that's a fucking legendary lineup right there.
Yeah, she was like, and they all played their greatest album back to front. So you got Nas, Illmatic, Mobb Deep, The Infamous. What was Cypress Hills? Was it Black Sunday? Is that?
Yeah,
is that
cool? I would either that one or the self-titled.
Yeah.
I would say Black Sunday had more radio play with things like Insane in the Brain. I know that's the one that that's my go has always been my go-to Cypress Hill album.
But she was just awful. It was very disappointing. And again, I went into it as like a big Lauryn Hill fan and still kind of am. She's, you know, whatever. She's a hip hop legend, but
yeah, I agree with that. Oh, man. Fucking tired today. Today is a goddamn struggle, gentlemen. But,
is it overdosing? Work related? General fatigue.
I think it's just general fatigue.
Well, that would.
Yeah.
Oh, you about bad. To take a shot at me for not working, Shuddy boy?
I set it up. You know how hard it is? You know how tiring it is not having a job? Shuddy, you wouldn't get it.
Yeah. Or imagine you had a job that you had to work like 60 hours a week for and you didn't get paid for it.
Well, I mean, that's a bummer part about it. I do have a job that I work 60 hours a week for, but I do get paid.
Yeah, so. Now go off of that and be like, yeah, you might work this schedule for a year and perhaps get paid for it, or you could end up losing even more money.
You hear the scumbag, Kevin? Ooh, he gets paid. Ooh.
Yeah.
It's a shit.
I mean, I don't think there was any surprise that Shuddy Boy is a fucking elitist.
He only does
stop it.
Let's be honest, he only does his job for the money, not like for the love of the job like me and you, Kevin.
Yeah.
But I also get paid for benefits.
Yeah, stop it.
The only way Shuddy Boy can get hard is if he watches a YouTube video of a poor person suffering. Oh, that's the stuff. Boy, yo, 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 yo.
Yeah, it's good stuff today. Good stuff in the Easter egg. I like this. I like where we're going here.
Hopefully we didn't blow our load. I have, if you guys are amenable to it, to piggyback off of our Ready to Die versus Life After Death conversation from last week in the main episode.
What are you saying?
You have another hip hop
face off?
No, it's not a hip hop face off. I want to read you the first verse that Diddy has on one of the songs on Life After Death, because I put it on my Wax of the Week playlist because Too Short has a really fucking rad verse in it. But I want Puffy.
Well, should we save this for the main episode then, Shuddy?
Yeah, it's going to be for the main episode.
Okay.
I was trying to give you guys enough info to know where we were going with it. My apologies.
Oh, Blunto.
I don't even. Do you know what the origin of El Blunto is?
Not really. I bought these things for, I want to say, the Nas and Wu-Tang concert that we went to that were called Blentitos, and they were little blunts, pre-rolled blunts.
That does ring a bell.
I think.
So did you like that misspeak and call it an El Blunto when it was an El Bluntito or whatever?
A Trax, right? Probably.
La Bluntito, El Blunto. There's a lot of diversity in my blunts.
I almost gave a little diversity speech at Cheech's breakfast dinner.
I mean, it was a quite diverse field. That was a very diverse table. The most diverse table in the restaurant, one could say.
Absolutely. We were fucking a block away from a UN meeting.
Since people, this is the Easter egg and we're getting towards the end of the Easter egg. We will see if when we're talking about the, and I'm reading these Diddy lyrics, if I accidentally say the N-word.
I mean, Shuddy, if you're laying this groundwork, if it happens, I'm going to say it is not accidental.
There's so many months left of the year, but that would be the MSPH moment of 2024. Chistora con patata.
It's literally like the fourth to last word in the verse, and I'm terrified that by the time I get to it, I'm not going to remember to edit myself.
Just say ninja 500 times in your head.
Yeah, it's a good sub.
Iberico's?
So by the time they get to that this part of the Easter egg, they'll know if I've navigated that minefield properly or not.
Just be comfortable, man. Pretend like you're driving.
Or, well, when I'm driving, I don't edit it.
Right, yeah.
Or.
And then I'm always like, ooh, well, that shouldn't have done that.
Oh, the window's rolled up. I'm driving through Philly.
Don't, Shuddy Boy, whatever you do, don't pretend that you just stubbed your toe.
Don't pretend you just got killed in Call of Duty.
Don't pretend you just lost $50 betting on the Knicks.
Oh, man. Oh. That's the hardest laugh I've had in a while.
Yeah, shout out to all you real ones that stay tuned for the Easter egg. That was a little treat, a little treat just for you guys.
Yeah. Well done. You actually named a legitimate sports team, Kevin. Got mostly black people on it. I'm very proud of you.
There is a chance I stole that joke from Artie Lang. But I don't know.
He lost a lot more than $50.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Kevin, we're also going to have you pick the final four.
Oh, okay. I like doing that.
But wait, we already got the final four. We're going to have him. Oh, you mean pick the results of it.
You know what? We should save that. We should save that for Patreon.
Okay.
We've got a decent amount of stuff lined up for the main show, I would say.
But that'll also give you time to research statistics and things. And
no, it won't.
Take a little break in between main episode and Patreon.
When I go take my between shows piss, I'm going to be Googling that on my phone.
We'll look at the fucking KenPom rankings. Let me know what you think.
Woo! All right. Let's see here. Shuddy, do I have record permission?
You do not, but you do now.
Recording in progress.
There we go. That was dangerous. That was almost a burp version of a shart.
Is it time? Are we getting it going?
One second. Let me just figure out. Okay, there's the theme. Yeah, we are good.
I must have.
Hey.
From Los Angeles, California, we're the Mad Scientist Party Hour.